become the role of the father, role of the brother, the boss, the employee, the human being, the regular person in the world trying to make it. I want you to just for a minute take that role and lay that role down and just relax and remind yourself that even though you are an American, it's okay to relax. And just remind, I know it's hard for Americans to just do nothing. But we can do it. We are a powerful spiritual group. So I got faith in us. So just take a breath. Listen to this. If you have trusted in your own strength, you have every reason to be apprehensive, anxious, and afraid. I mean, what can you predict? What can you control? What is there in you by yourself that can be counted on? What would give you the ability to be aware of all the facets of any problem and to resolve them in such a way that only good can come of it? What is there in you that gives you the recognition of the right solution and the guarantee that it will be accomplished? Of yourself, you can do none of these things. To believe that you can do it all by yourself on your own is to put your trust where trust is unwarranted. And that justifies fear and anxiety and depression and anger and sorrow. I mean, how could you put your faith in weakness, which is you on your own, separate from source, and then to really think you're going to feel safe? I mean, who can put their faith in real strength and feel weak? Your creator is your safety in all circumstances. Your creator is your safety in all circumstances. God is your safety in all circumstances. So you have to let the voice for your creator speak in all situations and in every aspect of all situations in your life right now. Let the voice within you for your creator, let your inner voice, let your inner guidance tell you exactly what you need to do to call on God's strength and the Creator's protection. There are no exceptions because our Creator has no exceptions. And you have a voice inside of you that speaks for your inner guide, God, and thinks as it does. So we're going to focus on the idea, which is lesson 67, which is God is the strength in which I trust. Which you could say my creator is the strength in which I trust, or love is the strength in which I trust. But the lesson says God is the strength in which I trust. So I'm going to say that for a couple of minutes. Allow us to get centered. God is the strength in which I trust. 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 Neither love is the strength in which I trust. 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 God 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 is the strength in which I God is the strength in which I trust. 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 Which I trust. God is the strength in 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 which I trust.
So if you're feeling apprehensive, anxious, or afraid, the course says if you feel apprehensive, anxious, or afraid in any area, then that's the area where you're trusting in your own strength. So everybody clear? Everybody know where that is? Okay. I'm going to be jump around here tonight. This is the first part of what I'm going to talk about. It's how you deal with people who don't believe what you believe. And how do you deal with people who believe that they are victims of everything and that they are not the creators of their experience? In other words, how do you deal with most of the people you know? Okay, that's going to be on page, first we're going to start on page 19 in the teacher's manual. That's the last part of the book. It's the section called The Function of the Teacher of God. On page 19. So you are a teacher. The course says a teacher is a demonstrator, and God is love. So we're supposed to be demonstrators of love, demonstrators of the truth. I was talking to someone today at lunch, and we were talking about how we want to live it and not just talk it. Be a demonstrator of it. We want to have it instead of always reading about it. And analyzing and philosophizing. So this is about what you would do to start demonstrating. I'm going to move pretty fast because there's a couple of things I want to try to get to tonight that's pretty powerful thoughts that will probably test that part of the course that says you don't have to believe it, you don't have to accept it, and you're going to have some resistance and all that kind of stuff. Okay. All right. Now the course calls all of us patients. All right, so the course says we're patients, and says if the patient must change his mind in order to be healed, what does the demonstrator, the teacher of God, do? If you have to change your mind in order for you to be healed, then what's my function as a teacher of God? If everybody's got to basically change their own mind in order to be healed, what is your function with your friends and your relatives? Well, the course says, can you change the patient's mind for them? Certainly not. Okay. He says, but for those already willing to change their mind, you don't have any function except to rejoice with them because they become teachers of God with you. So if I'm with somebody that's already decided that they're going to change their mind, like you all, then basically my function with you all is probably like a big dog with you. To rejoice with you, to be glad that you've decided that you're going to change your own consciousness and you're going to be the greatest that you could possibly be and you're going to claim your power. My function with you is to rejoice with you. Okay, now, then he says, but you have, I'm paraphrasing this to make it more conversational, you have, however, a more specific function for those who don't understand what healing is. So for people who don't understand that healing is changing your own mind, he says, well, we got a different function with them. He says, these patients don't realize that they've chosen sickness. And the course defines sickness as any lack of peace. So people who are upset don't realize that they've chosen it. Okay? And then it says, and they're not even open-minded on this point. Now, I'm unhappy that somebody else's fault has nothing else to do with me. Yeah. He says they don't even have it. He says the body tells them what to do and they obey. He says there are people who walk around and their body tells them what to do and they obey. They just believe whatever it is that their environment tells them is true. You know, the Course says they have no idea how insane this concept is. Like we don't really have it looks like a headache comes upon you and you have nothing to do with it. And like you can't get rid of it without taking some medicine a lot of times. And the Course says we don't realize that we're the ones that's creating every single thing that we are experiencing and that we are feeling. And if you tell people that they're creating whatever it is that they're feeling, that they think it's crazy and they're not even open-minded about that. So what it's saying is exactly what we go through all the time. And then it says, now this is the part that got me. The Course says, if the person even suspected that they were the ones that were creating their reality, they would be healed. You know, if we just suspected that all we need to do is change our mind to change our reality, we would be healed. He says, yet we suspect nothing. He says, to them, the separation is quite real. To us, it looks like the separation between us is quite real. You know, it looks like it's a bunch of different people sitting here in this room that I'm trying to reach right now with what the Course in Miracles is talking about. And it looks like the separation between us is quite real. Mm-hmm. Agree? It looks like it. Okay, so when you're around people who don't realize that their own change of mind could change their reality and that they're creating what it is they're experiencing, he says, well, what you do is you come to represent another choice that they've forgotten. And that means your simple presence is a reminder. You know, there are some people, if I'm just around them, they'll say, oh, I know what you're thinking. I'm really the one that's creating this. See, I didn't say a word, but they'll look at me and go, I know you think it's an illusion. You know, it's like, so what they're doing is just my presence is a reminder of the truth. You know, and just like some people's presence is a reminder of your guilt. Mm-hmm. All you have to do is just be in the presence of me and you feel bad.
Yeah.
Okay. So those are the people that's a reminder of your guilt. But then there's some people that are just a reminder of how cool you are. There's some people when I'm around them, just because I'm around them, I allow myself to feel better. Yeah. Just their simple presence is a reminder that I couldn't be as bad as a part of myself thinks I am just because you are in my life. You know, so your simple presence is a reminder that I must be cooler than I think I am. That's where you all are. Okay, in regards to what story I told myself today, when I come in here and I look at you, then I'm reminded that, hey, I must have some of my act together because look at the cool beings that I drew into my life. Beings who want to be more loving, beings who want to forgive, beings who want to heal. Your simple presence is a reminder for me. Then it goes on to say, your thoughts ask for the right to question what the patient has accepted is true. As God's messengers, his teachers are the symbols of salvation. They ask for the patients for forgiveness for God's son in his own name. They stand for the alternative. With God's word in their minds, they come in benediction, not to heal the sick, but to remind the sick of the remedy God has already given them.
Yeah.
So it is not your hands that heal. It's not your voice that speaks the word of God. You merely give what's been given you. Very gently, you call to these jokers and say, behold, you child of God, what life could offer you. Why do you choose sickness and a bunch of crap instead of this? So you represent an alternative, and you represent another way that you could look at things, another way that things could be. So what's happening is when I'm with you, you're doubting yourself, you're projecting or blaming or choosing to be upset or sick. What I do is remember silently that you have another choice and there's another way to look at this and there's another way that things could go. I don't have to say a word to you. As a teacher of God, all I have to do is represent the alternative. All I have to do is question what you are believing about yourself and not buy into it the way you are buying into it. And in order to do that, I don't have to say one word to you. Okay, because in most cases, it's easier to shoot positive, loving thoughts out to people who need it by not saying anything to them than it is by saying something to them. Because if they're unhappy and miserable and mad, they're just going to defend against the loving thoughts that you're probably saying. So you would actually experience less opposition if you just thought it and didn't say it. Okay, so sometimes if you want something to be hard for a person to accept, you talk to them.
Whoa.
So sometimes if you don't want to understand and want a real change, you talk to them.
Hmm.
When you want to slow the process down, you talk to them. I'm already feeling mad. I'm feeling guilty. I'm feeling like I'm a victim. I'm feeling like somebody did something to me. I'm upset, and you're going to tell me that it's not the way I think it is, and I got another choice, and it's really not real, and I'm more powerful than that, and I created it for myself. I ain't going to want to hear that crap. Okay, I'm not going to want to hear that crap. So it would be better if you just remembered it and thought it for me without saying anything. Because at a subconscious level, we're all in communication with each other all the time anyway. There is just one mind, and we're all sharing in it, and all of us know what everybody's thinking, even if we act like we don't. So people really are responding to what you're saying and thinking behind the words that you use when you talk to them. And that's why I can tell you that I love you, and I can hate your guts. And then you'll respond to the feeling behind the words and not the words. That's why some people can apologize. You go, oh, yeah, right. Yeah, they said the words, I'm sorry, but you didn't get any juice behind the words. There wasn't any sincerity. So it's not the words that really make the difference. It's really what the energy is behind the words. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So we're always in communication with each other all the time. And before someone really screws you, you got to go into a subconscious agreement with them that you're going to have this experience with them for some type of a lesson that you're about to have. And part of the plan is for you to pretend that neither one of you all knew it was going to happen and that the other person did it to you. Okay, that's the plan.
That's the plan.
So then I meet you at a party, and then you give me the kind of relationship that I subconsciously believed that I needed to have by being the kind of person that I really thought I deserved to have. And so if I believe that you are deceptive and I'm looking for deception, then you're going to deceive me so that I can see the connection between my own thoughts and my own reality. That you don't have to believe this, accept this, welcome this. Some of this you may find hard to believe in Christ's Bible. But you didn't come here to hear the regular stuff you hear every day anyway. You wouldn't even come to this class. So don't even come here expecting me to talk normal. Okay, normal people don't come to my class. Haven't you noticed?
Oh, yeah.
And that's why we're fun. Normal people, they're pretty predictable and routine. Pretty much boring. Okay? But us, we're exciting. People never know what the rabbit is going to jump out to have with us.
I don't have to go to Westford. Just come here.
That's great. Hey.
Here we go.
Guess somebody heard that.
Well, it depends on what you're looking for. Okay, so. Now, this is the part that's really a challenge, the next paragraph. Okay, so the next paragraph says, not once do the advanced teachers of God consider the form of sickness in which their brother believes. In other words, I'm not going to focus on the form of the thing that you're upset about. It's just another thing you're upset about. What I want to focus on is the content of what you're upset about, because it's the content that's taken many different forms. So what I want to get to is the core idea behind the problem and not get caught up in the effect. So I know that any kind of unhappiness that a person is going through ultimately is coming from the thoughts that they're choosing to think in that minute. And so no matter what they're upset about, I know it's them upsetting themselves about it. So I'm not concerned about what you're upset about. I'm going to focus on the idea that you're upsetting yourself. Not once do I consider the form. You know, the Course says all forms of pain come from a sense of separation from love, a sense of separation from God, a sense of separation from each other. And then all the things that we go through are just different forms that this idea of separation from each other takes, which is diseases and stomach aches and lacks and, you know, anything that we think we're upset about is a form of the idea that we're separate from love and we're separate from each other and we're separate from God. So not once when you wake up are you concerned with the form that the illusion is taking. You want to stay focused on the idea that there is another choice, that it doesn't have to be this way, and it is possible for you to see peace instead of this. And that's one of the workbook lessons. I can see peace instead of this.
Yes.
And sometimes when you're in front of some people, you feel like saying, I can see peace instead of you. And that would be nice. That would really be cool. Okay, so then the Course says, whenever you consider the forms of sickness in which your brother believes, he says to do this is to forget that all of the sicknesses and unhappiness has but one purpose, and so they're not different. So no matter what the form of the upset, you remember that no matter what the form of the upset, all upsets have the same purpose, and the purpose of all upsets is to make you believe that you're separate from love, separate from God, separate from your happiness, you can't have peace, you're not this powerful being that these truth books keep saying that we are. That's deep. That's deep. I say it again. The purpose of all sickness, all unhappiness, all lack of peace is to make you forget you're the holy child of God. It's to make you forget that you're this unlimited, powerful being. To make you think you're just a human being that's here because two people did the wild thing and then you're going to die one day. Everything here is geared to make us think that we are less than the eternal spiritual beings that we are, and to make us think we're just human beings that are victims of circumstance. That's the purpose of the problem, is to make you forget who you are. Okay? So when you begin to wake up, you never forget that. You never forget that no matter what the upset, it has the same purpose, to make you forget the truth about yourself. So if you tell me your problem, you're telling me the latest way you're trying to fool yourself into thinking that you don't deserve to be happy right now. And everybody's got their own personal story, which is their own personal way of keeping themselves separate from their peace. And the reason why you know that the issue hasn't been handled, the Course says, is because it will just reappear in another form. And as long as the problem keeps reappearing in different forms, he says you haven't solved the problem. Because once you solve a problem, you never have to solve it again.
Right.
So a problem that's continually solved over and over again, the Course says, is a problem that's never been solved in the first place.
Right.
So you can't be sick then well, then sick then well, then sick then well. You can't be, I'm in love, I'm in fear, I'm in love, I'm in fear, I'm in love, I'm in fear. The truth is that once you know what healing is and you're able to practice true healing, you're not sick anymore. The once you know what real love is, then you never lose it ever again. Okay, so the course is deep because it says, I know you think that there's a such thing as temporary healing and temporary love and temporary abundance. He says that's the whole problem, is that you people are in a world of temporariness. And people who are ready to wake up to their true spiritual identity are beings who want to go into a world that's about permanent love, permanent joy, permanent happiness, permanent safety, permanent health. Even if they can't even conceive of how it's possible to have it, because they're smart enough to know that the way to have it must be something they can't think of. So the sign of an awakening being is that they recognize they do not know. The sign of an asleep being is they know everything and they're miserable. They know everything, but nothing's going right. They know the answer and what the problem is, but they still got the problem. Okay? So there are but two kinds of people in the world. Those that are asleep and those that are awake. And there's a lifestyle that goes with either one of those. Okay? So the Course is trying to teach us how to move to the permanent love. And it also is telling us we don't know how to do it and we need teachers and we need help. And we have invisible help. And we have to avail of ourselves of that help. I'm loaning my body out so that the invisible can use my body to communicate some ideas that I'm learning just as much as everybody else. Okay, so I'm just as much the learner as any of you.
Yeah.
You know, you really screw up, I will cuss you out. I don't have 100% blissed out holy consciousness. All right? I don't have any desire to be put on a pedestal so that people can get better aim. Because that's the only thing that happens when people put you up on a pedestal. Like, oh, I can get a good shot now.
Yeah.
I thought Earl Purdy was really different, but I saw him dancing really tight with that girl at that party, just like any other man. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like when anybody puts you up on a pedestal, then you want to get as far away from that energy as you possibly can, because it's an energy of inequality. And the way that fearful people deal with inequality is they try to bring you down to the level that they think they're on. Okay? So as soon as somebody is always talking, acting like you got something that's so much more than what they have,
wow,
then you need to watch out. That's the person that will unconsciously or consciously try to, rather than try to raise themselves up. Most people don't try to raise themselves up. It's just easier to bring them down where I am. It would be nice if we wanted to raise, go to the high level that we see the person, but it's just a lot easier if I could just bring you down to where I think I am.
And I'll do that.
Yeah. Yeah, I can do that. Now I can judge, I can criticize, I can condemn, I can look for flaws. You know, but I'm telling you that you are whole and complete. There's nothing missing in you, and that you can change anything in your life that you're feeling unhappy about tonight. It doesn't have to happen tomorrow, 3 weeks from now. You can change your entire reality tonight. If you're open to it, it could happen tonight.
Yeah.
Now, your lack of enthusiasm that you really want to keep the situation just the way you have it. And that's why you just go ahead and you let people be, because they're basically in the situation that they're in because it serves some purpose that they think needs to be served.
Mm-hmm.
And they think the suffering they're going through is a small price to pay for something of greater value.
Yeah.
So whenever you present an option or you say to a person, there's a way out of this, you say you're miserable, there's a way out of this, and they have absolutely no enthusiasm about that, then that shows you that at some level they still want to go through the thing that they're going through.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a path that they've chosen for their own healing. And they don't want you to mess with that right now. Okay? And so they're therefore, instead of being glad that you are powerful and you're being told that you're powerful, that you are the alternative and that there is an answer, then the other part of the man that likes to suffer comes out and goes, that's just a bunch of crap.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's the part of you that's got you in the crap you're in the first place. If you want to get introduced to that part of you, it's that part of you that go, that's just a crap, bunch of crap. Okay? Anybody got that part of them? All right. That's the part of you that's cooked up the stuff you're dealing with right now. That's the part of you that cooked it up, but it's not stronger than the part of you that loved you. There is nothing in you that is stronger than the part of you that loved you, and the part of you that loves you can solve and heal any situation or circumstance that you're in right now. It's real, it's there, but it may be hidden. So what I'm going to do is remember that you got it, even when you forget that you have it, and then I represent the alternative, because I'm not joining with you on this idea of yourself that's not helpful. Because it takes two to create, and if I don't go into agreement, I'm not helping you create it. So all I have to do is not go into agreement with what you believe about yourself, and I don't have to say a word to you not to go into agreement and not help you create it. Because I don't want to talk to your ego anyway.
Yeah.
I don't even want to talk to the part of you that would argue with me about wanting the best for you.
Yeah.
That's the crazy part anyway. You know what I'm saying? I'm on your side. I'm on your side and you're mad at me. Well, I don't even want to talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk to you.
Right. Yeah.
See, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to you.
Uh-huh.
All right. Mm-hmm. Now, he says, He said, we see for God's voice in his brother who was so deceived himself as to believe that a child of God could suffer. And we remind this person that they didn't make themselves. We remind this person that they must remain as God created them. We recognize that their illusions can have no effect. And then the truth in my mind reaches out to the truth in the minds of my brothers and sisters so that the illusion is not reinforced. And so your illusions are thus brought to the truth, and the truth is not brought to your illusions. And so that's how your illusions are dispelled, not by the will of another, but by the union of the one will with itself. And this is our function, to see nobody's will is separate from ours, nor ours is separate from God's. So I'm not going to see your mind as separate from man, and I'm not going to see your mind as separate from God. I'm not going to see your mind as separate from love, and I'm not going to see our mind as separate from love. And I'm not going to believe that you can't get out of what you're in. I'm not going to believe it.
All right.
I'm not going to believe
yeah.
it. Yes.
Dealing with people who want to see themselves as separate.
You don't do anything, but remember they're not.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, the truth is always easier than the answers that we come up with, and that's what makes it the truth.
Yeah.
We love, of course, as we love complexity, because complexity is nothing but a smokescreen to hide the simplicity of everything. So when you're not ready to heal something, the mind makes it complex and says that it's a very deep, heavy situation that can't be solved. Because the mind doesn't want it solved, because the mind thinks it deserves to be punished. So when the mind thinks it deserves to be punished, it creates complex problems that are beyond your ability to handle. Because if it's beyond your ability to handle, there's nothing you can do but stay on the cross and take it. Right? So we don't realize that no matter what form of crucifixion that I'm doing to myself, the reason why I'm doing it to myself is that I'm not loving myself the way that I should. And that is the root cause of all pain, not loving yourself the way that you should. Okay, that's the root cause of pain. Whatever you got a financial problem, it's a love problem. You got a health problem, it's a love problem. You got a career problem, it's a love problem. You got a spiritual problem, it's a love problem. You're not loving yourself enough. You're not letting yourself be loved enough. You're not letting yourself have enough fun. You're not letting yourself have enough joy. You're not feeling innocent about the things that you're doing, and you don't realize that you're not alone.
Yeah.
I need help. I need help. I need somebody to remember when I forget. Because I am going to forget sometime.
Yeah.
I am going to forget how cool I am sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes. Okay? All right. So when people are in the presence of love, everything that's unlike love comes up to be released. That's why when you tell somebody, I love you, all hell breaks loose. Because as soon as you say, I love you, then everything that's not love has to come up to be revealed, purified, and released. I love you. Really? Really? Okay, then we need to get rid of everything in you that's not love and everything in me that's not love. Isn't that right? Yeah, so that means when you see all this stuff come up in me that's not really love, that's my call for love, and that's the thing that I need to release right now. So one of the side effects of starting to love yourself is sometimes you get a chance to see even clearer some of the things that you don't love about yourself. But that's really because you're loving yourself enough to see it now so it can be released now, because you couldn't get rid of something you didn't know was there. But you were seeing the effects of what you didn't know was there, because that's how you become aware of what's invisible. You become aware of what's invisible by the effects of it. So if you want to get in touch with your invisible beliefs, all you have to do is look at the quite obvious visible effects, which are the results that you're having in your day-to-day life. And now you know what you secretly believe, because your life experience, that is your secret belief about yourself. In case you wanted the secret. The real secret is your life is a reflection of your own secret thoughts. Now some people, that's good news. Now they realize they care more about themselves than they thought they did, because their life is really cool, sometimes more so than they think they even deserve. So they got secret thoughts of love about themselves. They're having a secret love affair with themselves. So they're meeting themselves at a hotel. All right. Now, and they get lucky every day. Glad I didn't turn myself down once. I just didn't have time. I had to get a rain check. You know, that's what's so cool. I had to wash my hair. You know what I'm saying? So the once I love myself, the once I claim the power of myself, the once I feel like there's nothing missing in myself, and then my outer is a reflection of my inner, then I attract other people to me who also feel whole. And people who feel whole just want to get together and share their wholeness with each other in joy. And they don't try to manipulate, control each other, dominate each other, because they don't feel any fear, so therefore they're not controlling. So the more fearful the person is, the more controlling they are, because the more fearful the person is, the more they want to try to control the unknown, which is an insane goal. Because you can't control something that you don't even know what it is. Okay, you know, it's deep, man.
Yeah.
You know, it's like one day, it's like, it's funny to learn that you create your own reality, and then you're supposed to let go of your insane desire to control your reality. It's kind of a weird thing, because if you're really smart, you always want to give it up to something greater than your own limited intelligence. So it's really about, how do I get in touch with the part of me that does know what's going on? How do I get in touch with home base I like get in touch with the creator of this experience, and so we can be on good terms so I can start letting some cool stuff happen at the level of the body. See, there's the you outside the body that's creating everything that's happening to the you that's inside the body. The purpose of the you inside the body is to have an opportunity to experience what the you outside the body is thinking and creating. So you get a chance to have the physical experience of what you are creating. So you are actually experiencing at a physical level what you are creating at a mental, spiritual level. So you are the one that's doing it to you. So you need to get on good terms with yourself so you stop whipping your own ass. You know what I'm saying? And how do we do that? Through sickness, through disease, through attack, through lack, through relationships that are challenging. You know, those are the various forms that the lack of self-love takes. So we're smart enough now that we're going to let go of the attachment to the form, and we're going to get in touch with the content, which is the lack of love of self. Just like things happen to you from your fear that are unexpected, that surprise you, but they're still a reflection of your fear, you can have the exact same thing happen as a reflection of your love. Your loving yourself will continually take really cool, unexpected forms and expressions that you never would have thought to. I mean, I'm having experiences all the time that I go, this is just too much. I had no idea that this is going to take this form, and I'm loving it. It's so cool. I know it didn't come from me because I didn't even think it. It's too good for me to come up with. You know, I made my plans. You know, my plans used to be a defense, nothing but defenses that I came up with because I didn't think I'd be taking care of that which created me. And since I didn't have any faith in that which created me, I thought I had to take care of myself all the time. So I would always come up with plans to take care of me, and I didn't realize that my plans were just my defenses because I thought I was afraid that I had to make sure that everything was going to be all right out of my own fear and sense of separation from my source. I was busy making plans all the time. Except that all of my plans had one common thing about them. None of them ever turned out exactly the way I wanted them to. And I was watching everybody around me, and nobody that I know, their plans have never turned out exactly the way they want. You know, you may get what you want, but it didn't happen the way you planned. You'd all know that. There's not one single plan anybody in this room has had that's ever turned out exactly the way they thought it was going to turn out. And even though we know that, I bet you everybody in here is busy planning. Why? Because we think we need to take care of ourselves. And so if we don't plan, it's too frightening. So you make up your plans realizing that the purpose of your plan is just to quell your fear. Not that your plan is really going to do anything. Okay? But it's just too nerve-wracking not to have one. So if you're going to make a plan, at least make a plan that makes you feel enthusiastic just at the thought of it. Because many times I see people tell me, ask them what they want, and when they tell me what they want, there's no enthusiasm and no passion behind anything that you're saying. It's almost like it's just like saying something because I need a plan because I feel like I'm a bum without one. You know, so I got to come up with an ambition so that I won't seem like I'm a slacker. You know, and heaven forbid, I shouldn't ever tell anybody I'm actually happy and satisfied with my life as it is right now. That's like a holy sin there, boy. People just think you must be the most ridiculous. What? I'm not trying to achieve anything because I'm very pleased with my life right now. Oh man, you're pitiful. You need to go to a workshop and learn how to be more aggressive. You know. Don't you know you're supposed to be eternally seeking no matter what? And don't you know that as soon as you achieve one goal, before you can enjoy it, you should make up another one? Yeah. But you know that that's the rate of happiness is to always be searching for it and never really find it because if you actually find it, then you no longer have any motivation? So a lot of times I'm afraid to tell people that, you know, like, well, actually I'm pretty content with my life. What? You know, you ought to be traveling around the world. You ought to be teaching about 300 million people, you know. It's like, well, actually, I really get the kick out of teaching the people. I can drive 5 minutes and don't have to go to a metal detector. I'm cool. So now if I try to do something, I just call it an exercise in playful creativity. I just do it to see what it'll be like. I'm like, what would it be like to go to Europe to do some Course in Miracles classes? It wouldn't be like, unless I go to Europe to do Course in Miracles classes, then therefore I'm not really excelling as a teacher, because every time I teach my class, there's not more and more and more and more and more people. And so therefore I must not be saying nothing worthwhile, because if I really was, I would be on TV every day. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, no, that's not the way it works at all. What happens is that everybody that comes into your life at any given time, according to the Course, are sent to you, and they're sent to you because the way you are right now is what they need based on where they are in their level of understanding. So the truth is, everybody that's in your life right now needs you to be as authentically yourself as possible, because it's your real qualities that they need for their healing. And when you're not being true to yourself, and you're not allowing yourself to be the authentic healer for the people in your life that you could be, because they need you as you are, because there's no one else like you, and you have special gifts that nobody else can share the way that you share. But it takes guts. It takes guts to live an authentic life, because if you live in an authentic life, you may not always have the validation of the people around you that what you're doing is the right thing to do.
Oh, really? You got that.
So I hear people say they want to have a life of truth and they really want to do their own thing, but it takes a very courageous being to live their truth. You can't have it both ways. You know, you're gonna have to get to the point that you are actually trusting that your function is your happiness, and your happiness and your function and your happiness and your function are one. That you're not really truly fulfilling your function on this planet until you're happy. And if you're not happy right now, you are not fulfilling your function on this planet. You are not living your path. You're living the path that was given to you by society and the people who raised you. But you're not being true to you. Because when you're being true to you, then you go into a state of grace, and then things stop being a strain, because you're doing what you came here to do, and then the universe supports you on all kinds of levels. You should not be struggling if you're being true to yourself. You shouldn't. Nobody has to make me come to a Course class, and it's not hell for me to come do this every time that I do. You know what I mean? I love what I'm doing, so therefore I follow my heart. And when you begin to wake up to who you really are, you start to follow your heart.
Yeah.
What, you know, you follow your bliss. You don't follow sacrifice and struggle and convincing. You know, so I'm a heretic because I'm saying things like this. You know, I'm a cult leader because I'm saying you deserve to be happy. But you know, if you're a cult leader, you go,
let's do it.
What am I doing? I'm just doing exactly what I feel like doing in this moment without caring what anybody thinks about it. That's what you just saw. You saw a person that just did what they felt like in this moment. See, and that's where your aliveness and your excitement comes from. It comes from doing what you feel like in any given moment and not what people expect you to do. Or being willing to be yourself enough to scare off everybody who couldn't appreciate you for who you are, so that you can have the people around you who go, give me more of you, show me more of you, let more of you come out than it did the last time. Don't hold back. Come on, I want to see who you are. I love it. Go for it. I want more you. Right? Instead of, don't do that. Stop doing that. That's not proper. That's not right. You shouldn't say that. That's not. That's your own criticism and your own feeling of discomfort about who you are being reflected back to you through the people around you who seem to be judging you, because you're judging yourself, but you're projecting your own thoughts of judgment into the people around you. See, that's what's really, I'm judging me, but I don't want to admit that I'm judging me, so I'll create what appears to be a judging you. So you'll be standing up there saying, Earl, you know you don't never say ass in church. We all know that ass brings down God, completely disrupts the cosmic continuum of the universe, and there could be no spirituality in any man who would say ass. Because we know to be truly holy, you speak a certain way, and you talk a certain way, and you look a certain way, and you dress a certain way, and you're always really quiet and sedate and intellectual. And now you become a holy person. Well, you're the most boring person that's ever lived. Because you're afraid. Because we all know what we do when we feel safe. When we feel safe, nobody knows when the rabbit's going to jump out of the box. When we feel safe, people see aspects of us that we've never seen before and they've never seen either. You know, if I can predict what you're going to do every time I see you, we don't trust each other. Because now you're acting within the perimeter with me that you think makes you safe. But if you're really beginning to get close to me and I'm really beginning to get close to you, then there should be some unexpected surprises. But if I know everything you're going to do before you do it and you know everything I'm going to do before I do it, we're in a relationship of fear. But most people need that because they've mistaken that for stability and security, which is to have the limits that you need to have around you that you can count on being there. And that's okay. Some of us need to have boundaries, but always remember they're renegotiable. I only needed this much room last year. I love myself more now, so I can handle a little bit more good than I used to. Okay? And so again, when you're around the people in your life, then you're to remember that about them even when they don't remember it for themselves. Anybody haven't had a chance to sign my email list, my miracles mailing list yet? Everybody on here? You want to be on here? I just wanted to make sure I got your email address and stuff. Okay. Any questions about what I've said so far? Or any comments? Now, the real thing is to realize that whether you did it or not, it doesn't matter.
That's true. We were neutral.
We were neutral.
Cheers.
So really, the joining is the non-condemnation.
Yes.
It's not whether you jumped around the room.
Right.
It's whether or not you condemned us. Now, the more we recognize. I'll get back to you later. Forgive me, I had a little moment with myself. I'm telling you. So this is joining. This is joining. See, the safer we feel, the more the energy shifts. See, because when we're not strangers, we play. You know? And I have to go beyond my own fears to be a good demonstrator teacher myself. Right? So I had to go beyond my fear of jumping up and running around. Right? So I was willing to go beyond that. In spite of my ego, it says, you don't do that. That voice was there. Don't do that. Mm-hmm. And I went, no. Uh-uh. I'm going to do it as a sign of how safe I feel with everybody in here. And then I did the other thing, which was I just asked. Because if you ask, you shall receive. So I asked. Who's willing to do it with me? And it was more people willing to do it with me than I could do it with.
You know what I'm saying?
You know, used to play in a band a long time ago. Used to play behind a lot of folk. I'm not going to name drop, but it was cool. And it was so cool because there was this phenomenon when I was a musician that was called a groupie. Uh-huh. And it was the most pure, relationship I've ever had. Because there wasn't any game. The person would just look at you and go, I want you right now.
Done.
And it's done. No, none of the bargains, none of the games, none of the seductions, none of the manipulations, not all of that. It was just, this is what I want to do with you. You want to do this with me? Let's do it. There's no condemnation, no judgment, nothing. So I realized that there's always somebody that wants to do what you want to do. If you let the universe decide who they are, ask spirit to be in charge. And then you'll find that whatever needs you have, you'll have a person sent to you that wants to meet that need because that's their natural way of being too. And so you don't go through all the crap that you go through when you're trying to manipulate, seduce, and get. Because when you're in those kind of relationships, you know you're in those kinds of relationships because you're always having to process and convince.
Yeah. Huh.
So if you're processing all the time and having to convince each other all the time, then you're in a relationship where you're denying yourself joy.
Movie Almost Famous.
Yeah. Hmm?
Yeah, the movie Almost Famous with Kate
Hudson.
It's wonderful.
I think I did. It might have been a while back. So, well, do you know that right now what's happening basically is that you all are being prepared for the lesson of receiving?
All right.
And so that when you're going to have to learn how to let stuff in and to learn how to be appreciated for who you are and how to handle people who come to you and they're not trying to change you because they do see your value, you know, and then you learn how to embrace that and let that into your life. And then you learn the coolest secret of all, which is that the way that you can guarantee that they'll always be there is just to show them complete appreciation.
All right.
Which it can be as simple as going, boy, you're wonderful. I appreciate you. Thank you so much. The things you do for me. I don't take that for granted at all. I think that's wonderful. Thank you. You are a blessing in my life.
Mm-hmm.
It's not deeper than that. But people act like it's really deeper than that. It's not. Say what? Whew, catfish on a Friday night. Lord have mercy. Yes. Yeah, and then when you eat the food, like the person gave you that dinner, you know, you get that piece of catfish. And you know, I'm from the South. I love catfish. And you go, it trips people out. You take a bite, and then you go,
That's right.
You don't think they're going to cook for you again?
Yeah.
So I'm going to stop right here. Would you acknowledge yourself for praying and learning? In spite of how you felt before you came in here, in spite of what's going to be waiting for you when you leave. You know, you get a different perception of it. So let's do the love offering. Thank you for sharing with me in my full-time ministry with the course. I really appreciate that. And I got a quick thing I'm gonna finish on, so just hang tight. Also, our class is to help you remove the block to your awareness of all the good stuff that I was talking about. Don't beat yourself up. Don't take the blame off of yourself, off of other people, and start putting it on you. And that's another, so watch that. If you take blame, the point is, if we take blame off of everybody else, there's a tendency to put the blame on ourselves. And so don't do that. If you really want to change the mind of a person that's really stubborn and fixed in their way of seeing things, you do it silently by thinking what you want to say to them. You just think it, and you represent the alternative. All right.
Okay.
And there are flyers over there for those of you who might be interested in having a one-on-one session with me. So what we want to do is end it tonight by realizing, here's a quick review. Number one, if you're around people that want to grow just like you want to grow and they want to wake up to who they really are, your job is just to rejoice together. And that was what we were doing there for just a second. You know, that was just doing what we were supposed to do. Hey, all of us want to change and we're here together. Let's rejoice. Then when you're around people who don't realize they create their own reality and they see themselves as being victim, then your job is just to not to believe about them what they believe about themselves. Can you do that?
Yes.
Your job is to see them the way they do not see themselves, and to know that if they're really deep in their illusion and really sad and really upset, that if you say something verbally, there's a good chance that they may defend against what you're saying. So don't be surprised if they don't get all excited and happy because of what you just said. So actually you're making them focus on their problem even more, because they'll be so busy trying to defend it that they're giving it more energy than they would have if you had not ever said anything to them. You know what I mean? You know, it's like if I'm feeling bad and then you tell me that there's no reason for me to feel bad, then I'm going to get deeper into it. Yes, there is a reason for me to feel bad. So actually what you did was you made me go deeper into the idea of my problem, and you thought you were being helpful. You might want to ask and say, hey, you know, would you mind if I share with you another way to look at that? Would you like to have another way to look at that? Don't just jump in and do it. Would you mind? Is it okay? Can I maybe give you another way? It's like you would offer somebody a cup of tea. And then you don't get offended if they say, I don't want any tea. You know, somebody says, I don't want any tea. You don't go, you got to take my tea. You know, you don't trip like that. You just go, okay. And then you go to the kitchen and you take the tea back, right? So you go, well, can I give you another way to look at it? Well, I don't know. I don't really want to hear anything you have to say. Okay. That's cool. Want to go to a movie? Because what you want to do is steer the energy away from that, so that the person for a minute can release it long enough for spirit to come in and create a healing. So tonight I want to ask you to make the decision. You're going to take a stand tonight, and the stand that I'm asking you to make is to take the stand that you are loving and that you are lovable, and that you are loving and lovable even if you don't always believe it, see it, or feel it. You're just going to go, this is my stand. I know I may not always feel that way, and I may not always see how that's true, but I'm going to make the decision tonight that I'm going to make the decision for God. I'm going to make the decision for love. I'm going to make the decision for my peace. I'm going to claim it. I deserve it. I accept it, and I'm willing to do whatever is necessary to remove any blocks that keeps me from being aware of it. But I'm going to accept that at my very core, I am innocent. At my very core, I am a good person. At my very core, I deserve the truth, and I deserve prosperity and abundance, and I deserve companionship, and I deserve freedom, even if I don't believe it, even if I don't feel it, even if it doesn't even look like it sometimes. I'm taking the stand tonight. And have that firm foundation of your own affirmation of your value. And then watch everything start to witness to that and start to prove that to be true for you. All right, so this is the last thing. Take a breath. I want you to send peace ahead. God is the strength in which I trust. God is the strength in which I trust. It loud. God is the strength in which I trust. God is the strength in which I trust. What? God is the strength in which I trust. God is the strength in which I trust. God is the strength in which I trust. God is the strength in which that means love is the strength in which I trust. 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 Now we're going to let go.
echo of the past, so it won't limit us anymore by saying, the past is over. It can touch me not. The past is over. It can touch me not. The past is over. It can touch me not. Let me say, the past is over. It can touch me not. The past is over. It can touch me not. The past is over. It can touch me not. The past is over. It can touch me now. Mighty companions, may the force be with you. I'll see you Sunday at the next time. One or the other. Appreciate you all. I think I can even remember the truth about myself. Clothes are available.